Good morning. This past week's daf was daf Nun Hey, 7th Perek, Maseches Nedarim. Let's see the Mishnah on top of the Yom. Hanoidim Adogon. If someone makes a neder, he asks with a neder, and the term that he uses is Dogon. What's included in Dogon? Zok the Mishnah also bepula mitzvi yovish divre meir. Dogon will include pol hamitzvah yovish, like we saw before, that the pol hamitzvah, there are different usages, we'll call it, you know, when it's fresh and when it's dry. When it dries, it's dealt with the way it's produced, it's like that of tefillah. The Rishonim over here talk about, tell us, midgun, midgun, like the Gemara says, it has to do with the Asiyas Kri, in the harvesting. It's harvested similar to that of a grain. And therefore, the Lashon, contrary made Lashon of Dogon, includes anything midid and midgun, and it'll ask pula mitzri, right? I mean, it's basically, it's not limited to chamesh saminim. It's really, pula mitzri is really just an example of something which is the midgun. V'chamayim any also elu b'chamesh saminim, limited to the chamesh saminim, 5 grains. That's what dogon refers to. At this point, we could be ma'or a shaila, which will. Maybe we had this before, maybe we'll see it again in a shtickle different context. The pola mitzvah has 2 different stages. So, if a person made a nether while the pola mitzvah still was in the fresh state, right, and then later it got dry, what's the halacha over as far as that's concerned? Meaning to say that, is it dependent on the shas haneder or not? Now let's just open this up a little bit. I would think that when we're talking about this, you know, let's talk about another scenario. Right? Let's say you know, things that haven't yet grown. Let's say at the time of the nether. So is there a shaila as far as that's concerned, that the iser is not chal on that? I wouldn't think so. I would think that whenever it comes into being, right? That would seem to be, you know, from, you know, anytime someone asks something, you know, for a long period of time, you know, Paris, whatever it is, whatever, that should be poshut. So the fact that the item was not there at the time of the nether is not a reason why the nether shouldn't be chal. The question just so over here is that if the item was there and it was not nesar, so is that a reason for the nether not to be chal, because the nether was not referring to this item? Or no, maybe it should be just similar to if it wasn't here at all. That once the item comes into being, the nether will ask for it. So too, over here, that even if the item has 2 stages and the initial stage is not the stage that the nether asks, but once it comes into that stage, then the nether will ask for it.
I think this wouldn't make a difference if he's answering a specific item or the class, right? If he's saying this particular tissue is also, then it's on chayfer. So if he's saying tissue is also, then a tree that's currently a tree that's going to be made of tissues, when it comes to tissue, then it'll come up. Right? So here he's saying the mean of poyla mitzri, right? So right now it's still moist, it's not in that ghetto of this. So when it changes as it enters into the class that I asked them, it comes also.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's definitely could be so. That could be so. Maybe it's even mistava like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll see. We shouldn't talk about a little different scenario. We like the opposite kind of case. they talk about, right? When something starts off Bukhlal de Isser and then it transitions into something which is not Bukhlal de Isser, whether the Isser is Poka or not. Right?
But the original case, so what would the Rebbe say is, okay, so if you have something that was a moist or a fresh pool of Mitzri and then it dried, that was the Rebbe Shaila. So what if it wasn't planted, you plant it, right? So it's going to first go through the stage of moist, or fresh, and then go to dry. The Rebbe would include the Shaila on that case too?
Yeah, correct. Because the Shaila was based on the fact that this was the point of the Shaila was that if the item was here, did appear, but the Isser wasn't chal on it, right? That's that. So you're right. We show that it doesn't seem to be that you have to be has to be ready in front of us in order for the Isser to be chal. Right? That's probably true. So therefore, if you want to talk about our shaila and you want to talk about a previous stage, the fact that it's not here at all, of course, the Isser could be chal when it comes. The basis of our shaila is that it came into being. And if it wasn't chal, is that a reason to say therefore that it's not chal on it anymore? Right? That was that side of kapanim of the shaila. Right? If that is a possibility, if that is a shaila at all, right? Maybe it's poshut.
Is this in any way connected to the rule of Eino Adam Oitz Davar Shelo B'lo Eilam?
To look back, I don't remember so clearly. But you have the Ma'am Makom over here, the previous Sugis over there.
But did we have a suffix about if a person users a mean on him that if it initially started with that mean that it's going to be usher, right? In other words, we're asking a case where it went through a mutter state and then an usher state, but right. Isn't it that Rapasha that the usher is a category, I'm not going to eat apples, right.
Yeah.
So then even future apples are going to be usher?
See, he's just asking really more like a mechanical question. Right? That's you're right, the halacha probably is that it's usher, just how does that stem with the din of Lebel Oilam? That's what I want to know.
But if it grows later, it is baloyim.
But the din of lay baloyim always is such that at the time of the original activation, it's not here and it comes later.
Oh,
right? That's what if it never came, nothing to deal with. So we're always talking about something it wasn't here at the time and it came later. And the fact that at the time of the activation of whatever you're doing, it wasn't here. Right, that was the issue that maybe.
But the difference is that there are apples in the olam now, right? And it's adding on to the.
So does that help? Does that make a difference? Right? Or why does that make a difference?
The nida can be activated on the class of apples.
Right.
Then more members join the class later.
Right, so is that a maila? Right? We're asking you just a lamed shushaila. How does that work? Is that a mal use the fact that it was chal concerning something? Right? Is the loy bala oila on because nothing is chal? That's the issue. It's all or nothing, or the loy bala oila should have the same problem that if there is something which is loy bala oila, won't be chal. Clappy those things, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So we really have to get the bikis, get the information on here. We had previous sugars right now, but I'm sorry, I don't have it. I don't have the addresses right over here. But Michael's working on it.
For the other thing, there was an issue with going to the shore. Remember that the Gemara of going to the beach? What?
Nukusayama, that one.
Yeah. Where was it? Because that was where we talked about. That's where we talked about if something was usher at the time? What was the question you just asked?
to go off? This was chal, and then things changed for this to go off?
That we asked by Bishul. Things were cooking. Oh, no, that was where it was going to... It went through... By Bishul, it went through... I don't know, it went through one stage and into another stage. But by Nechusei Ayam, we had some question. All right, I don't remember what I was even looking for. Okay, fine.
Because they're going to come back to the shore. If they're not going on a long trip, they're going to come back, and therefore they're considered to be Yeshvei Abasha.
It wasn't specifically on that case, but there was a case there where you ossered something, and at the time that you ossered it, changed after you ossered it. Okay, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay, man. Hopefully, we get a chance to see that a little bit further on. Okay, so the initial machlokes in the Mishnah is what's included in Dogon. Remeir contains Remeir Emah Hanoidim Min Hatfua Ene Also El Mechameshes Haminim Avol Min Dogon Os Bechol. Remeir talks about Tfua, and the way he introduces it seems like he's talking like, you know, it's part of his address to Dagon. The mayor says, like we'll see in the Gemara, that this is agreed upon. Hanoidem and tfuah is takalim to chamesh zaminim. So the mayor is saying is that, you know, true that there is a term that refers to a limited group of the chamesh zaminim. That's tfuah, but Dagon is not similar to that. So the chacham say. Chomashita is that both Dagon and both Tfuah are this limited category of the Chamesh Saminim. So Kremeir, true by Tfuah, but not by Dagon. Zokt Mishnah umutu beperis heilon uve yerek. This goes back on Kremeir Shita of Dagon. Or, you know, that's what he was saying. You know, Hagam, that he's saying that Dagon is inclusive, but it's only midi the midgun, and therefore peiros ha'ilan and yirokos, which don't have the midgun, which is, you know, the earlier stage of pulah mitzvi, like we heard last time, you know, it functions similar to chayis, maybe a yerk or something like that. Is that's why it's not bechlal dogon yet. Okay, so that's what Machleik is in this Mishnah over here, right? Dagon and Tfua, these two terms. Zok the Gemara. Remember the Dagon the chol the midgin mashma. The Gemara takes out the shittas of Meir, right? If Noidim and Dagon asks his pulah mitzvi, so that's because he understands that the word Dagon refers to kol midi de midgon. Freti Murakasha from a pasuk. Moser Biyosef prays a davar hibur bnei Yisrael. Reishis dog and tears for Yitzchak v'chol tfuah sasadem. Boroi, I call it. Yeah. Zok Mor v'yamet dog and called midgemash ma mai ki prays a davar hibu. Which really the question is on the kol tfuah sasadem, right? Either it's we need to continue the pasuk, or maybe there's a gear. So the question the Gemara is asking right now is like this, is that, and I'm trying to just circumvent the question here. So the way we want to explain it is like this. The Gemara's kasha is really just focusing on the dogon, aspect. It's machlech, but the dogon includes kol midi de midgon. And the Gemara is asking a question that if you hold that it's kol midi de midgon, so there should be nothing more to be included. That's the Gemara's question. There's Bishlam Kontrachom that Dagon is limited to the Chamesh Saminim, so there's more to add. But if you hold that, it's called Midas Midgan, so what is there more to add? Now, what we mean to try to get around over here is that the pasuk adds kol tfuah sasada, right? Which is the next piece of Gemara. That itself is a question. That the lashon of tfuah, you know, what is tfuah adding? Befrat, I'm saying tfuah, right? That's more than asking in a moment. I mean, tfuah according to everyone, is only chamesh aminim, right? And dog, and you know, even at its narrow category, is already. So right now we're not focusing on that. And the ikar question that the Gemara is saying is, maybe we'll have to see how to make the arrangement over here in these two pieces of Gemara. But the ikar focus Gemara is saying is there what to add on Dogon? And that Gemara answers, Omar Balasui Peres Eilin V'Yerek, which is like we went to the Mishnah, Mutzah Peres Eilin V'Yerek, that's not included. Now, you know, it seems like there is a shakal atari over here, whether we could or we would be referring to Peres Eilin and Yerek. Meaning to say like this, is that, I mean, the Moira's question is that the Pasuk talks about that they took off Meiser of this whole list, right? We have an extended list. The list starts with Dagon, and it talks about Tuas HaSadah, right? You know, something in addition to that. Now we know, I mean, the Mishnah tells us that Dagon, you know, in as much as Dagon includes Kol Midi Demidgan, but the Mishnah says clearly that it doesn't include Peris, right, and Yerokas, which is Gemara's answer. Right? So there seems to be a shock or tire over here whether that's acceptable, right? That to learn that the pasuk over here refers to Peris and Yerokas. Right, so that might need a little bit of explanation. What was the issue? Why did the Gemara initially think that Tuas HaSodeh was not referring to Paris and Yerokas? Right? I'm saying because Dagon, in as much as that it's inclusive, but it doesn't go past midi the midgun, right? Like the mission tells us, right? You know, that, right? So we know what's included in Dagon, what's not included in Dagon. Nevertheless, the Gemara asks the question that if you hold that Dagon includes kol midi the midgun, then we don't have anything, we don't understand what could be added onto the list in the pasuk, right? And then the Gemara comes back as well, it means Peres and Yerokas, right? So what did the Gemara think? Why did we, I think that the way to understand it, the more knows that the Peres Yerokas is not included, but for some reason more understood in this pasuk that's not what it's referring to.
We can't say that it's machlokas if it's included, right? Again, this is a question specifically.
Doesn't the Mishnah say that? I mean, the Gemara is asking on Rameir Shita. Rameir says clearly that Noidim HaTogon is motor b'peris ha'ilam v'yerek.
Right, so I'm saying that the Chacham could learn that kol tfu sasada, right? Can't the Chacham learn that?
No, they do. The Gemara's question is only kasha on is only a question on a mayor.
Right. So can't simple pshat of the pasuk if you're talking about tfuas hasada would not include fruits. It would be more like,
pull a mitzvah. What? Pull a mitzvah or yavish.
Yeah. Right? And like we the word tfuah, like the Gemara is going to ask, is mashma, a finer category, and so maybe the simple reading of the pasuk is it's more things that are piled, right? Which you told me last week, right? Right?
Okay.
But that's on Dagon.
What?
Dagon is things that are piled, not tevua.
Right, but the tevua is even a finer thing is it's the chamisha meaning dagon. So the chachamim possibly learn that tevua sasada is only things like dagon, not like a tevua. The things that are piled and doesn't include fruit and vegetables. Fruit.
Okay. It's a little bit difficult in the reading the way the Rav was asking before.
Go ahead.
Because it already said Dagon, which the Chachamim say is Chamisha Saminim.
Right.
So if Tavuas HaSadeh is also Chamesh HaZaminim, what's it adding?
I'm saying that it would only be Pula Mitzri.
Well, why is it adding that?
What?
Why is it adding that? Everybody agrees that Tavua doesn't mean Pula Mitzri.
Right, but they would learn as Dagan-like things.
Yeah, okay, except that they don't ask the Kasha on the Chachamim.
That's
so
right.
They don't seem to have that problem.
Well, no,
right,
that's why
they don't ask you on the Chachamim.
Right, and let's see the next piece when we put these two things together. So let's see. I mean, the Gemara asked the Kasha. Well, let's just read the Gemara. We'll get there. In a couple lines. Omar Bailus. I'm sorry. Reb Meir. Our mission says in the Natfua. Omar Birchan. Hakom Moedim Benoedim Natfua Shein Also El Mechamisha Saminim. Right. The Ran explains that even though Reb Meir is the one who says that in the Mishnah, Reb Birchan wants to make a point that everyone agrees to that. Everyone agrees to that. Okay. Tainami Hochi, and the price also Mvur, Vishavim, Benet, Menatfush, and also El Mehemin. Shav means that it's agreed upon as opposed to something else which might have been Machloikis, Dogon, but when it comes to two, everyone agrees. The Gemara asks on that Pshito. Now let's just discuss this technical piece over here. Rabbi Yechon comes along and tells us that you should know everyone agrees, right? The Ran right away tells us why he's saying that, because there is a possible mashmois in the Mishnah that it's only Rabbi Meir's sheet, right? That's the Ran tells us, right? So that Ran. Right, the Ran says. Right, so the Ran told us where Rabbi Yochanan is. You know, he's coming to get around or something. That so now the Gemara asks the Kasha Pshita. I mean, the Pshita seems to be like in Svor, right? That's the question of Pshita. Right, but I mean, the Ran told us that the reason why Rabbi Yochanan is saying is because there's mashmois in the Mishnah, so he's getting around the mashmois. So when the Gemara asks Pshita, granted that maybe in Svara it's like that, but you know, if it's accepted, maybe it's not accepted. Right? But you know, where Rabbi Yochanan has come to take care of a deek in the Mishnah. So, you know, that's the answer to the Pshita, right? I mean, we're coming to let you know that it's not, don't walk away from the Mishnah thinking that it is the, it's not agreed upon. I just want to know, how do you learn this Gemara? Is Gemara working with that? Gemara is saying that, I know that you're telling me the Mishnah is not like that, but in Svara, it can't be like that, right? There's no way for anyone to argue on it, so therefore, you know, no one will be misled from the mashmois of the Yichidah in the Mishnah, because there's no way to think otherwise. Right? Is that how to learn the Gemara? That, you know, we're taking that into account, right? But you know, but always, you know, you have a diik, but it also has to make sense, right? So you know, so if you have a diik, granted that you have a diik, but if in Svara there's no way to think otherwise. So that in itself will get us past the deek, and if I don't really need you to tell me, possibly that's how to learn what the Gemara is saying. Right, so even though we addressed before initially what he's coming to say, but the Gemara is asking that, you know, that's not a valid reason to say it, because if you think about it for a minute, there's no way that anyone could argue on it. So, you know, the Lashon Yechidah, you know, we would not rely on that at all.
Is the Peshitta going on both things? I mean, you have a Braisa and you have a Rabbi Yochanan. It's like a Kasha on both of them? You could kind of ask, once there's a Braisa, why did Rabbi Yochanan have to say it?
Mm-hmm. Right, so whenever you have such a thing like that, the answer might be that maybe he wasn't familiar with the brayos, right? The more the Rishonim tell us that Amram didn't know all the brayos. Throughout Chast, you have the Tainami Hochis, so it would seem like they weren't familiar with the brayos. They said it on their own, and Mura says that there's a source to what they're saying. Akoponim, let's see the Gemara. Pshita Mar the same. Zok Gemara Mar the same. It's full. Kol Mili Mashma Kamash Malon. Kol Mashma Kol Mili. Now, how do you learn the Gemara over here? Right, this Gemara over here, right, just at face value is a little hard to understand. The Gemara says the Pshita. The Gemara turns around. Mar the same. It's Kol Mili. What happened over here? So the Ran assists us a little bit over here. The Ran introduces something. Over here, which helps us understand. That's Dr. Blessed Aran. Dr. Aran. Mild the same, it's full, komili mashma, midi mitage minan alaltos. The Ran says, some where this comes from? It's come from a new piece of information over here. That the tagam of tfuah is alalto. Alalto mashma komili kamil kamon. The reason why I might have thought that Tfuah includes more than just the Chamesh Saminim is because we find that Targum is Alalta. And Alalta means more than that. So the question is that how tak is that the Targum? At the end of the day, Tfuah only refers to Chamesh Saminim. Alalta includes everything. So how was that the targum, how was that the translation? Right. So I guess what we need to say is like this: is that the word alalto, right, is a more general term, right, which refers to any kind of something which
produce.
Right, produce, income, that kind of a mashmois. Tvua is a limited alalta. Now, the word alalta itself, without any limitation, could extend, like we see in the Gemara, to much further. When the word tfua is a limited alalta. It sounds like that maybe the word tfua itself also maybe has this the same translation. Tfua, we were saying before, maybe use the lashon of havo, to bring in. Which is similar to alalta, which means to bring in. So in that way, they mean the same thing. Just tfua has its connotation, which is it's a limited alalta, right? So that's why you could translate it as alalta, because that really is the root of the word tfua. Tfua happens to have something else, which causes the limitation. So that's how it at the end of the day it is like this. Zot Gemara that one might have thought that Tvua, therefore being that it's the translation, so Tvua has a further connotation similar to what Alalta includes. That's possibly I had to understand this over here. So Zot Gemara, so the reason why it's not pshita is based on the tag. That's how the Ran explains the Gemara. Now maybe one could ask, coming back to that original Ran, so then why did the Ran explain Rabbi Yochanan that he was coming, from a mashmois of a yichida in the Mishnah, let him mean this, right?
Okay, what was the question?
The Ran starts, right, and the Ran's coming to them. Rabbi Yochanan says, you should know that everyone agrees that Tfuah is the Chmei Shemim, right? Sotaran, you know, why should you think otherwise? Sotaran, because it's Rav Meir who says that in the Mishnah, and therefore you would have thought it's only Shitas Rav Meir. Right? The Gemara a few lines later asks a Pshita, and the Gemara says, Mal de Sema, right?
We're different in saying Misfar.
Yeah, let me just think for a second if what I'm asking is correct. Okay, maybe that's a good question. Okay, I'm gonna carry on. Okay, I'm gonna take time that we have a lot in front of us over here. Okay, let's see. Zog the Gemara. Now we're up to the question. Masav Yosef. Okay, so now we're working with this. That everyone agrees that Tevua means just the Chamesh Samin, right? Fretim Masav Yosef Proit Hadavar Hilbnei Yisrael V'Chulu. The question over here is that we're starting out in the Pasuk Dagon, right? Dagon, and we're adding on to Dagon Tfuah. So Fracti Gemara, I mean that Tfuah is only Chmesh Aminim. According to everyone, the smallest group, you know, in according to the Chum Shita, that Dagon is Chmesh Aminim is also said. So as far as Tfuah adding on to Dagon, it's not an addition at all. That's the Gemara's question. That is the Gemara's question. Now, this is because we're saying that everyone agrees that Tevua is Chamesh Samin. If it were to have been that's only Shitas Reb Meir, and the Chachamim hold that Tfua includes more, that's like an opposite sheet, right?
That's why we didn't ask the question earlier.
Then things would have been good.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's why we didn't ask on the Rabbanan before.
We didn't ask on the Rabbanan before
because we thought that it was only Rabbi Meir that held it, that Tevua is Chamesh Aminim. But the Chachamim held that it was more. Now that we say that the Chachamim hold that it's only Chamesh Aminim, now we can ask on the Chachamim.
Uh-huh.
The Mishnah says Rabbi Meir holds that Tevua means Chamesh Aminim.
Right.
Okay. The Pasuk says Dagon, right. Which the Chachamim says Chamesh Aminim, and then it says Tevua. Right? If the Chachamim, right, so the Chachamim could have held not like Rabbi Meir on Tevua, that they held Dagon's Chamesh Aminim, and Tevua is more than Chamesh Aminim. So we didn't have a problem with the Chachamim. Now that we're coming and saying that even the Chachamim hold Tevua is Chamesh Aminim, so Dagon already said Chamesh Aminim, what's Tevua adding? That's why we have to answer now for the Chachamim.
But it doesn't say Tevua, it says Tevua is a Sukkah, right?
Well, that's the answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that could be a Chesron. But let me just think for a moment. See, like this. Once you want to talk like this, then let's just follow through the thought. Mm-hmm. Follow through the thought. That first piece of Gemara, right, was asking a kasha on based on what's included in Dagon, right? Asking a kasha that if you're telling me that Dagon is inclusive, now you have a problem in the pasuk, right? Now, if the Gemara was aware that we're adding Tefuah over there, and the Gemara was, like you're saying, according to the Rabbanan, that didn't bother us because Tevuah at that point, maybe according to the Chachamim, held is more inclusive. But in Reb Meir, Like, why is the question dependent on his shita that Dogon is more inclusive? Right? You know, if we're aware at the end of the pasuk, it's talking about tfuah, so then this question is a question, no matter what you hold, is Dogon. Right? Now the Gemara clearly is asking based on what he holds is Dogon. Now that you're telling me Dogon is more inclusive, now the end of the pasuk is a problem. L'chara, it's regardless a problem, because the end of the pasuk says tfuah.
For Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir holds tfuah as only chamesh zamim.
Right, right.
He could have asked the question differently.
Right, it sounds like from the Gemara, maybe that the Gemara was not focusing on that, right, at this point. And as much as we like to try to, you know, cover all the bases, but you know what I'm saying? Because then the question is not really dependent on Dogon. It will be a question regardless. So it sounds like at this point of the Gemara was not bothered by, you know, what's included in Tfuah. The Ikka question just is that, you know, what could you add onto your Dogon? Dogon already included everything. I'd like to have them ask the question.
I mean, I'm wondering if maybe there's a different machlokas going on here, because I see that the Mefarsh says something that the Ran doesn't bother to say, which is that they brought Meiser from things that didn't have a Chiyuv Meiser Doraisa. Ran doesn't bother to say that, but according to Rabbi Meir, that's the way it has to come out, because...
Where does Ran say this?
Ran does not say it.
I mean, the Mefarsh. Where does the Mefarsh say this?
At which point
of the Gemara?
Ukifrut adavar, kind of in the first part.
Oh, right.
Plumber shekivu lehem takan to shabizgiyah el aser akol kedichtiv v'hiru bnei Yisrael iimrat bishleim adadogon lo mashma ela mechameshes aminim hainu daata kralameimar hiru Yisrael dafilu devar shaloni chayv b'maiser minatora. And I have some questions on what he's saying here, because he seems to be saying that only Chamesha Saminim would be Chayav Doraisa, so it's a question. Kagon Sharmine de Midgani Hayuma Asrim Kade Lahachzik Betakanta Eli Yamra Dogun Kolmini de Midgun Mashma Mayu Kufar Surah Hebrew Kolomar Maho Sifu Alma Shakasa Betorah.
I mean, it's interesting what he's saying, because I would have thought, I mean, for sure, Chamesh Zaminim is Chayav Daraisa. Now, you've got, the Mishnahs over there seem to say, anything that's Nishmar and Ochel, right? I mean, dried up beans are Nishmar. So maybe they're Mechuyav Daraisa, or not, I don't know. I mean, maybe that Mishnah's over there is not talking about Daraisa, it's talking about Darabanan. But Lachora, we say, even things that aren't stored up, like even tomatoes, you have to give Darabanan. Right?
Maisigerek, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or, right, of the sort.
So what about Pula Mitzriya Yavish? Is that Daraisa or Darabanan?
So it sounds like he's saying that it's not Chamesh Saminim, it's Trabon.
That's what the Mefarsh is saying, right?
Right.
I agree that's what the Mefarsh is saying.
So where are we going? I'm just getting this.
I guess I'm wondering, because according to, I guess what I'm saying is, according to Rabbi Meir, who says Dogon includes Pula Mitzri, so now you have to say Tavuos HaSadeh is coming to include even Yerek, so that would mean that this Takana, Durabanan, to bring Meiser on everything, was at the time of Chizkiah. And you see it in the Pasuk, that there was already either this Takana, or that maybe the Takana wasn't made then, but people were Makabal it, and then maybe the Chacham made the Takana after their Makabal, one way or the other.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Okay? But if you're learning like the Rabbanan, that Dagan is only Chamesh Aminim, the later Sugya, then Tavua can come to add Pula Mitzri, and maybe not everything, and then the Rabbanan to bring even on tomatoes and things like that maybe is a later thing, according in the way the Rabbanan are learning.
Mm-hmm. Right. That could be. That could be.
I do have a question. But trying to say that the word dagon may include more like tomatoes or something like that in Duraisa?
No, because that's not what I said. That's not what I said.
Okay.
Dagon, according to the Chachamim, is only Chamesha Seminin.
Right.
So the Tavua can come to add Pula Mitzriya Yavish.
Okay.
Until they say not like that, and then Tavua Sasa, Tavua Sasa they can add Pula Mitzri, and maybe not tomatoes, according to the Rabbanim.
The fact that the Ran omits that point that they bought more than the Pula Derisa, I don't think that means that he disagrees with the Ran. In other words, the whole
disagrees with
Parash. Yeah, I think the whole sugya here is what's Loshim Bnei Adam, and Loshim Bnei Adam would include the pasuk in Nivayamim because that's like a. It's telling you a historical thing. But the definition of Truma, which is based on the pasuk of Dagon and Tisha Yitzhak, that's Lashon Teri, that's nothing to do with the Nadan.
That pasuk there is Lashon Teri? Or the pasuk in the Chumash is pasuk Torah.
The Chumash, which defines Chumash and Ma'aseh as a dog and Tisha Yitzhak.
Right.
Like that, I think, is the Kuriyam Chumash is mean a dog. Is that all? Right.
Okay. Fine. Fair enough.
And the Mefarad, that's what the Mefarad says. They bought more than that. They bought all the other things. But the fact that we're trying to medite from the lashon of the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim is because that's also nichtav in lashon Bnei Adam. I don't think you can redact from the omission of the Ran that he's being marbe that the dogon which is mechayev from a deraisa is being marbe other items that we would like to connect it to machlekes of men chama.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. So I'll say it slightly differently. Is that according to Chachamim that dogon is only chamisha seminim and then tavua sasadeh. And that would be Doraisa. And then Tavua Sasade is adding things that weren't Doraisa, like Pula Mitzriya. But according to Rabbi Meir, even though, let's say, only Chamesh Laminim is Doraisa, but still Dagon referred to Pula Mitzri.
Dagon and Divrei Yamin.
And Divrei Yamin, referred to Divrei Mitzri. And then Tavua Sasade included even tomatoes.
Right.
And so he would be holding that there they were already makabel on themselves even to bring tomatoes, whereas the Chachamim might be holding they were only makabel things like Pula Mitzri.
Right. But both of them hold that it was something which was not Mechir Medirasa.
Fine. I hear what you're saying. That's right. I changed according to what you're saying. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Now that might help us in our original question. We wanted to know that what's the Gemara's what's the Shakratarya, the original piece of Gemara, whether whether Tuas Hasode could include Paris and Yerukas or not? I mean, the point wasn't so much the lotion of the Gemara. The issue just was that the Hisofa on Dagon. Right, so originally, I think Shlomo was saying that even though Gemara tells us, the second piece of Gemara tells us that Tuas HaSodeh doesn't have the same limitation in the Mashmois as Tfuah, and even though Tfuah, like Gemara says, according to everyone, is Chamish Samim, Tuas HaSodeh is more inclusive, nevertheless, the Gemara thought that it should be restricted to the connotation of Tfuah, and the Tuas HaSodeh might expand it to call Midi the Midgon, but it still retains, you know, a Tfuah Mashmois. And the Gemara was Mechadish, you know, that now it could even refer to Tuas HaSodeh, could even refer to something which is not even Midi the Midgon. But now, from what I'm hearing from what you're saying is maybe it has something to do with the point that you're raising as far as this Din Drabonon that other things have a chiv maestris. At what point in time did these things happen? Right. So you know, maybe that's a way to explain that the Gemara was not happy to be mechadish that the chiv maestris on Peis Virokas were already or instituted at that time. Right, maybe that's the shock of Atari over here. Okay, possibly. The truth is that, yeah. Right. Like, the truth is that you yourself were more, it's not so clear exactly. I mean, the Pasuk says that they took off Mises to these additional things. Was there an official takana on that? Or just, you know, people just, you know, were getting into the mode, so they did it, you know, to type a sleeve on. Yeah, back up on, maybe that is something to work with. I just say, you know, that new point that you're bringing over here. Okay. Lomazen, let's see the Gemara. Zot the Gemara, okay, so we spoke, we'll move quickly over here. Zot Barmai Shmuel Poked.
Oh, sorry. Is it important at all that this Mesve is bought by Rav Yosef and answered by Rava?
In context with the next piece of Gemara?
Yeah.
I don't see any specific reference, but what are you having in mind?
I'm not what sure. It just occurred to me that, I mean, Rav Yosef, I mean, Rava came to say Tavua Sasadeh is more than Tavua. Rav Yosef before that didn't see such a difference, right? So Rav Yosef had a problem, really, just according to Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, I don't know. Didn't he had a problem even according to Rabbi Meir, right? He had a problem according to everybody.
Right.
Because what is Tavua Sasadeh adding if you think that it's only Tavua?
Right.
So he was then Mekabel that, I guess, from Rava, because otherwise he has a problem according to everybody.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
And his Mesve could have been earlier.
There's two points to ask on this pasuk. That's more seems to be saying, right? Mm-hmm. The pasuk talks about Dogon, and the pasuk talks about Tvua. There's what to ask from the Dogon aspect, and there's what to ask from the Tvua aspect. Right? That's more has two questions. Right, Rabbi Yosef himself, right? He's bothered by two questions in this pasuk.
Okay. But he was, it sounds like he had to have been makabel what Rava said. I guess that's what's really coming out, is
right,
it? Because otherwise he has no, and now if they have a machlokas, if they still have a machlokas, that machlokas, he's makabel that Tavua Sasadeh means something different,
mm-hmm.
but he still could argue on the word Tavua itself.
He could argue on Tavua. Is he arguing on Tavua or is he arguing on Alalta?
Oh, sorry. He's arguing on Alalta, right? Okay, fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. Zakmar Bar Mashmul Pokad Delisnun place afizuz lerova min Alalta dana panya. Fine. Sholchorov kamid rabyes Alalta hechimikaya. He wanted to know where he could make the collection from since you know, he was told that it comes from Alalta. What's the group of Alalta? Om Rav Yosef Masnisen he b'shovim b'nei d'nei atfu she'enos el mechanish saminim. So Rav Yosef understood that it does go hand in hand. Each one, you know, they both mean the exact same thing. So if tfu means chamesh saminim, so Alalta also will mean chamesh saminim.
Oh, now I see. Rav Yosef's answer back to him, he asked Akasha on that exact Mishnah, and now he's bringing that Mishnah as a Raya that Rava gave him an answer on. Masnisen he v'shoven benoder. That was exactly where Rav Yosef asked his question, right? Mesiv.
Right.
Now he's bringing that now, so he must have been makabel what Rava said, because now he's bringing that as a Raya that everybody holds to Tavua Chamishas Aminim.
Well, I mean, the price is probably not really negotiable.
Okay.
Right?
Fair enough.
Yeah, it is what it is, right? Right? He just wants to know how does that work with the pasuk, right?
Okay, fair enough.
Zoktigmo, omle abaya, midomi, tfuli mash, mumchis, amin, lalt, komili mash. Okay, this is that difference of opinion over here. Ajul kamed Rava. Rava gets back.
saying that even though the Targum uses it after Futavur, but in our context, in the Nadarim, they have different meanings. Don't bring a rhyme, because we already were saying midid and Targum mean and Arata, so we want to connect them and separate them.
So I'll tell you what we said before. You're talking according to Abaye, right?
Yeah.
Right? So what we were saying before was that the reason why the Targum could touch it as a Lalta, which is really more inclusive, is because the root of the word Tfuah and a Lalta is really the same. Right? That's where we understand maybe Tfuah, you know, Lashon of Havo and a Lalta, right?
Right.
However, Tfuah happens to have its connotation which causes the limitation. So that's why. So the Targum of Alalta is just translating the literal Sherish of Tfuah, right? But being that Tfuah happens to have an additional limitation of in its context, so that's why at the end of the day there'll be two things, but it's still proper to translate that's what it means, because the root of the word Tfuah is an Alalta word. So Alalta doesn't have any limitations. So, you know, Alalta will be, you know, the Mashmois of Alalta in its fullest extent. Tfuah has the mashav of a limited alalta. That's what we wanted to say. Okay.
Just to point out this story isn't really a Nadarim story. It might be a Lashon Bnei Adam, but this is a Mamonis story. Right.
It's a Mamonis
story,
but it's probably still Lashon. Right. So let's see. So Omar Holak Mboyli allowed to call me Komili Mashman. Hadohu Diboy. This was my Shailu. My Shailu really was further down. Schabatim Schasfin is mine. His question was, is that rental income from houses in Sfinis, is that also something that's Bechal Alalta for him to collect from? Mi amrina on kivid pachs and lav alalta hi, or dil mo kivid le yedi pachsai o alalta hi. The Gemara says as follows, that the point by schabatim schasfinis, which would have caused the difference, is the fact that there's pachsun. Pachsun usually means, and that's what Taisa says over here. It refers to the wear and tear, right, of something, right. So, in when you're renting it, so that there's an income from, you know, from the rental money, but there is some degree of a loss when through the usage, right. The Rosh says something else. You look over there to see he explains a little differently. But now it would seem like this, is that you see from the Gemara that definitely the pchas would be a reason to think that it doesn't, such a thing is not included in alalta. Alalta seems to be something which is a kula revach. Right? That's the mashmaus of them. And pchas really would take away from that. Right? It's a limitation in the revach. The only reason why the Gemara says that maybe not, like the Gemara says that it's lo yedia pichsayu, lo yedia pichsayu. Taisvi says lo yedia pirush pichsen matmat uzma merubu. It's a little bit over a long period of time. It's not something which is noticeable, which is focused on. So therefore, we don't view it as we don't see it as a loss involved, and therefore, you know, it's viewed as a kula revach. So in truth, there is a loss, but it's not a loss which is lenegre neinu, right? Some kind of yeah.
Is he trying to collect the boat in the house itself? And then he's going to own it and get the income, or is he just collecting the income?
I thought he's collecting the income.
Is it possible that we're touching it up differently here? Like before, you were saying the same show, which is Lashon of Ol, which is Ba, right?
Which is what?
The word Ba, and Tavur is Ba, and in Aramaic it's Ol. numbers come to come out, come in.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the Doshan of Aliyah. Is that we're saying it's Kurisheva, the Doshan of Aliyah?
Here, that could be, but would we want to do that in the Gemara to take? It's a different mashmois, or it's an additional mashmois in the word.
Languages evolve, right? So the fact that Targum uses a lot on Lashon HaTorah of Tavur, and now we're talking about somebody 1,000 years later, whatever, later on, saying using the word Alta to mean prophets.
I thought it was like income. You're saying going up. You're saying trying to say going up, but income could be like al. In comes in, uh-huh. Like bo.
Oh, interesting. But it can't just be income. It has to be pure profit.
Well, income is pure profit, but right, you're saying income, right. You're saying as opposed to revenue. Revenue right. As opposed to income. But you're right. And it seems like the shaila is
midi de mashbach, right? That's what this is. Yes, yeah, so why this should? What is the translation that it would be a kule revach? Okay, I hear your point. Right, that is.
It's hard to think of something. It's hard to think of something that's completely profit. There's no expenditure at all.
Right.
I mean, even if you're reaping wheat, you have to spend right. The time and the energy in your right. Machine or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, we are seeds with right. Yeah. They, right. I hear the question. I'm bothered a little bit by that also.
So probably the way to see where this question will take us probably is to make a difference in it. Expenditures, would not take away from this, right? It sounds like that we're referring to something that the thing itself is nifchas. The fact that, you might have to, pay out money, your investment, even by tool, let's say, right? I mean, you gotta buy the seeds and this and that, right? But as far as, the production, you put seeds in the ground, it's kule revach. There's no wear and tear, in that. So true that, net gross, waste, these kind of things, maybe there's a cheshbon, right? But that's what we're referring to. So in a rental, the pras is in the thing itself.
Because
right.
Wear and tear on the property,
right?
Or the
right.
Boat, or
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a P&L statement, right? So the cost good sold would be the 5,000.
The what?
They don't know what a
P&L
is. Profit and loss.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So the 5,000 range would be the cost good sold. 6,000 range would be the expenses. And depreciation would be like up in the threes or something, right? Twos. I don't know.
I'm not sure what you're trying to say.
There's like a structure of the count numbers for different types of expenses.
Oh, I hear just saying.
Yeah, there's other expenses.
Revenue accounts, expense accounts, and asset and liability accounts.
Fixed asset depreciation.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So this is the Gemara. That's the shayla, right? And as I said, the more is not poshut this shayla itself. The Ran says that it's taka sofik, and therefore it applies the hilchus sveikus. Right? This is what the Ran says. So therefore, in hilchus in dinei momenis, in hilchus sveikus, always on moitzi mechayel horaya. So he wouldn't be able to be moitzi from them these things because there's a sofik whether he's entitled to that. Concerning Nidorim, right, the Ran says it will be the other way. Yafichayish that it includes that, and therefore, it'll answer such a thing like this also.
Maybe Rava could have answered that way.
Let's see that one.
And they came back, and from Rav Yosef's answer, could have understood that for sure Rav Yosef holds that rent is not included. And so I have a suffix. So Rav Yosef is saying for sure not. I have a suffix. Okay, so now that it's a suffix, I can't collect from it. And he didn't have to come and say, okay, thank you for bringing me Rav Yosef's answer. I understand from Rav Yosef what to do.
Okay.
I was trying to answer your question. There's nothing which has zero cost. There's always going to be some expense, right. Maintenance, whatever it is, taxes, real estate. Right. But let's say you assume you take that off. Now you're looking at your profit. Is that profit allowed to? And you're saying, well, what about the depreciation? The long-term depreciation.
Right. You're saying non-cash expenses. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Those are all cash expenses. These are non-cash expenses.
Right.
Well, eventually they'll be cash expenses because there's the depreciation.
Right. But because over time,
it's not discernible right now.
Right. But everyone, obviously, you're obviously right. There's always some discussion. But it's all the other expenses, maintenance. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. So let's see. Zokta Gimora. Okay, so let's see over here. Zokta Gimora like this. Amru Rabban Kamei Rabbi Yosi heard back. Omar b'chimeached leitzorech lon amai sholach lon. He had a pesatayin over here, right? He felt slighted. Ikbi Rabbi Yosi. Fine. Shoma Rava. So Rava heard that Rabbi Yosi was makbid, and he wanted to ask him mechilo. For us coming by Yom Kippur, so he came on Erev Yom Kippur to Rabbi Yosef.
Can I point out that for 13,000 whatever he didn't want to leave his shlender to go ask a shayla, but to get mechilo Yom Kippur, that he.
Okay, that's good. Maybe that answers the question why he waited to Erev Yom Kippur. And.
That he was busy.
Busy learning. Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure if that fully answers the question, but Akopan. Ashkechei l'shamei d'avakom mozik kamei kasa d'chamra. So Rava comes in. You know, he's makes his way into the kitchen there, or whatever it was, and he sees that the shamis is diluting the wine, right, making it drinkable. Omlei havli d'imzig li ano. He said, let me do that. I understood that this was part of his tshuva process, right? Machni etzayin, right, to Rabbi Yosef. Yov levikom mozik, he will cast the ham. So he gave him Rava to do it. Fine. So Rava's still, in the kitchen. He hasn't appeared yet, and the case was sent to Rabbi Yosef. Kikoshos yomadei mizgudim domi lemizgud Rava bar Yosef. Bachomer, Rava, Rabbi Yosef tastes it. You know, it's a little watery. And it reminds him of Rava's. Apparently, he had experience with Rava's Mizige before. Amalei hunihu. So then Rava appears. I'm here. It's me. You're right. Amalei lo yisef kacha da amrit li pirusha da hadei milsa. So Rabbi Yosef tells him, don't go anywhere. Don't even sit down. Tell me the drash on this pasuk over here. And the Ran tells us that Rabbi Yosef had something in mind concerning the episode. The Yisharim say that the Mufal HaKol in this context is that he teaches Torah to anyone, no hakpalas, no limitations, whoever wants to learn, he's open to learn with them. Torah nitlim matono, shenemar umimidbor matono, v'kimu shenitlim matono, nachaloi keil, shenemar umimatono nachaliel.
Were you referring to the machlokes and brachos about bringing in people who are teichel and not kabbalah? Is that what you were referring to?
What?
You said he was teaching to everybody with no limitations. I didn't think of it. Is that what you meant?
Teichel kabbalah?
Yeah.
I glad it wasn't. I wasn't. But that could be. I thought the Gemara over here meant. Because the Gemara is saying this over in as far as a hefker, so it sounds like that even. Teaching to people which might be degrading to the teacher. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems to be in this context, right? Mm-hmm. Right? That doesn't have to be lefi chloidoi.
You're not getting stolzy.
Right. Yeah.
Mufarish is b'chinam. He's in charge.
Oh, yeah? Oh, he says like that? Yeah. Okay.
Shumufku lako. Okay. Now, what does this mean over here? It's nitle matano. The next stage is nachaloi keil. Pusha, how does this translate? Which direction is this going? Does that mean that it's referring to the person himself, as if to say his nachlo is the Rabbeinu Shleilam, or the other way? That is, if to say, like, he relates to the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and nachla is referring to, and Pusha, what's the translation? Nachlo keil. In other words, who's receiving the nachlo? The person, and as if the yachas to the Rabbeinu Shleilam is the inheritance, or in some way that he becomes miuchas to the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and the nachla kil goes on the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Right, you know, so who's the recipient here?
Faust says the Torah becomes the nachla. Neither
of them. Oh, nachla. So how is that? Okay. So what has that fit into the words? Oh, so that's when he's okay. Fine, that's the okay. That's better. I like that better.
Nachalo the Torah. Nachalo.
I was translating right. Nachalo kale means the kale gives him an inheritance. What's that? The Torah itself. There is it. Yeah, that's. Yeah, right. That's more Mizuik, right?
Like he can pass it on to his children. What does it mean that it comes
in that? Well, I thought it means that might be included in that, but it's a greater yachas, right? Merosh kilis yankev, that musuk, right? It's not just like, you know, something that you have, but something that, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Umimatono nachaliel. Yes. Vikivin shenach lekel. Oil ledu. Another madrega, another level in that. Not exactly defined. Maybe some information. What that refers to. I can put them, but it's another level. Another level in this. Zok the Gemara. The make biatz because we're watching Shneim and both Hagai. Bomis is a high place, Guy is a valley. Umi Bomis, from the heights of Bomis, a person could end up a guy if he's not dealing with what he has properly. If he causes him gaiva, he'll fall. Or he'll be made fool. Maybe the other girsa might be a little more appropriate. Sheshekfin oisei bekak shem nishkof apan yishimun. The pasuk of Hilak Farshim says nishkof l'shav mashke. If mashke refers to the lintel, I think I called it, of a door, and because the word shakaf means to bang, right? And the door bangs against that. So that's the context that we're using right now. That as a result of his gaiva, he will be banged. Bang to the kaka, bang to the floor. That's describing his fall. In shkof apnei shim v'mchoiz ba kol shbok ma'bi shenema kol geyinose. The pasuk was really someplace else, but the pasuk refers to going from a guy right up again. So the more understands that refers to as a hemshich to this. Aide tshuva. A person could be once again brought back to the heights that he originally came to. The Ran says over here, "Niskavna b'yosef v'hazir rova shehi shval ruach b'yosef." That was the intention that Rabbi Yosef had when he asked him to express that the limud from this drash. That it should make an impression on him, that from the future. Zok the Gemara. Let's see the Gemara Vayter. Tanya, I know he's
mad. Sorry, I'm just understanding. Oh, yeah. Did Rava then bring this extra part to say by serving you, I'm making myself a shuffle, and that's my tshuva that she yinase. That what he means to say.
Did Rava say anything?
I mean, this is all Rava. This is all Rava saying over this drash.
I thought it was Rabbi Yosef saying.
Oh yeah.
Tell me the answer to this. Tell me what this means.
And then Rava says.
Where does it say? He gave this long answer.
It's a sort of question. I'm muchach that he was assuming to give himself the status of Kol Reinase. He was just telling this drasha.
I mean, I wasn't sure if he says the two questions. Right, the Ran says, right, Afilu Hachi, even though this is a completely separate pasuk from the Vim, the two questions from Mashbil Gem, Maisi Raya, Shamashbil Atzmo, what's he mean? Maisi Raya, why is he bringing a Raya? Maisi Raya, Shamashbil Atzmo, Sofo Lalo Kirtiv, Kolagayanasa.
Yeah, is this mean Pashtus? What this means, the Baal Hadrash? But you wanted to say that maybe it's Rava doing this,
right?
Right?
Yeah. That he's saying, I'm makabel everything you're saying, and I was mashbil myself to come and serve you, to be mekayim this.
Kibud Rav.
Right. And he said it to him, not in a Hester kind of a way.
Right, because Rav Yosef didn't ask him to bring in that pasuk. He's like, he adds on to it.
Right.
Right. Right.
So then do we understand why Rav Yosef asked him to,
to be Dorish the pasuk, or why he was angry? Which one?
No, why did he ask to Dorish the pasuk?
I guess that maybe that comes back to what he thought Rava's problem was in the first place. He thought Rava was just being a little bit too not as sinua as he could have been.
Right, but he was anticipating this answer, and therefore he understood this pasuk would draw out that point.
I think that's what I understand. That Rav Yosef knew the drasha. He wanted Rava to express it, that Rava should tell himself the message.
I will go further and say, he says, "V'teisa v'karach, don't stand until you explain it." He's telling him, "I'm going to be both of you. We're on the same page. You have to learn this lesson, and then you will be able to sit down afterwards."
Okay, very good, very nice.
I don't know if you want to die from the Loshon Sifta, but he says that the Sifta in the back says that this was not part of Rava. This is the Gemara speaking.
Oh.
The Gemara is adding on. If he does tshuva, then Hakadosh Baruch Hu will bring him back up.
Mm-hmm. So what's the mighty Raya?
The Gemara is bringing him back. This is in the back, in the B.R.A. Right. I don't know where he gets it from.
Okay.
Probably if you find this drosha, in different contexts, that probably will tell you whether it was Rava doing it or that's just the... Okay, Romazen. Let's see. Zok to Gemara... Let's get one more piece over here. Tanya, Hanoid ben Adogon, Osur af Bepul Hamitzri Yovish. Okay, right, that's it's Meir. Umutter Belach, right, Umutter Be'oiris, okay. Zok the Gemara that Dogon does not include Oiris, commonly translated as rice. Now these things over here, the Ran tells us, we had before, these are really achita. It's a wheat. It's a wheat kernel, which is nechlak. It's cut into different number of pieces, right? Smaller pieces, each thing. And cooked in that form. Now, one thing we see over here, right, that even though originally chitin definitely is dogon, right, the kuliyam, right, even if dogon is limited to the chamesh saminim, but that's chitin. Now, by processing it to this stage, it's yotze mechlal dogon.
Is that Lekulei Alma or only for Rabbi Meir?
Why would that be?
But when a mayor holds that initially it includes more, so would that be a reason that for him it's easier to leave the klal? You know, even if you're chamesh saminim.
Maybe when you split it like this, they don't store it into piles. And so he says, because you don't store it into piles, so this becomes mutter. But the chachamim would hold, this is still chamesh saminim.
I mean, clearly the Bryce is Rabbi Meir, right? So you're asking that, do we have to assume that because he was...
That he was more inclusive...
Right, when he doesn't include it, the Chachamim also doesn't include it, or maybe let's see, I didn't even get to the second step, but the first step is you see that it's Yotzim Chaldogon. Now the question is why? Right? Why is that? What happened now? What happened now that it's not Bechlal Dogon anymore? So what you're saying is what we would say at first glance, that you know, if Dogon has to do midi the midgun, that could be. I just would wonder, just technically, that why does that happen at this point? You know, if it's not midgun, you know, when the kernel's full, it's still midgun, and when you cut it, it's not. You know, I don't see why that's the changeover point, right? I mean, you know, if it's not mid the midgun, you know, once you go through the threshing pass or you know whatever, you're separating the kernel, right? But you're cutting the kernel into two pieces, that should be the changeover point, right? Basically, right? Unless you know that there's something else over here which. Let's say the mashmoy is over here. That's what I'm saying, but maybe I'm making a mistake. Let's say a full kernel, right? Well, the kernel is full, then it's still bechlal tvuah, right? So you know, if it has to do with the fact that you know you're past the midgun stage, I mean, the truth is that regardless, probably when you come in to eat anything, you know, you're not eating in the midgun stage. Right, it's anything is like that. So,
the midgun stage of it being in the pile, you mean?
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. That's you know way back, you know, in the harvest, right? Yeah,
was this
right.
Cup? I mean,
so how do you understand over here? Why is it that these things are not bechlal dogon anymore? They were originally, and they're not bechlal. At what point did they become? And why is it become that dogma?
I don't know, because it's so far removed from our culture. But I was wondering, like, you're taking a you've been with Chalik, how many times you're slicing a tiny piece of wheat?
Yeah, it sounds tedious.
You need a good knife.
He says grits.
I don't know how grits are.
Grits is, if you're in the hot South, cereal. Grits.
What's grits?
But it's made from corn, I think. I asked Rabbi Davis this when we were learning.
Is it cooked or
it's cooked?
It's cooked.
You cook it.
I think that's what this is, just technical for if you right. want to know. They cook this thing over here, so it produces a different consistency. Right. Like that.
So maybe it's mukhach, this has to be out of the pile stage. Like other forms of eating wheat, you could go up to a pile of wheat, grab something and chew it, whatever it is, right? This, by definition, is done like to a smaller quantity that's no longer a heap.
That's why, by
definition, it's no longer in the heap. You're not going to take an entire heap and start cutting it into pieces.
Is it possible? I'm wondering this.
Yeah.
When they put it into piles, it actually dries, right? I mean, the kernel, when it's grown, has a little bit of moisture in it. They put it in piles, it dries out, so that by the time they go to grind it into flour, it's very dry. But if you would grind it right away, it would be kind of sticky and moist.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if maybe these things, they needed to do it earlier, at an earlier stage when it was still moist. Maybe they ground this up at an earlier stage when it's still moist, and so they didn't put it into the piles in the first place.
That's how I understood it.
Before.
But I mean, I don't know if I was right about it, but that's how I understood it is that...
Okay.
So these things,
Yeah, but this is speculation on speculation. we don't really know.
Right.
But then you could say also that if they have to grind, they have to be dry, not
I hear what you're saying.
But this wasn't ground. This was sliced into pieces. So maybe that they wanted it more moist.
I wonder how they did it. They used like one of those things like this.
Yeah.
I want to assume that 2, 3, 4 just translates into how much more time you're leaving it in the blender or their version of it, which is like grinding it up.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely.
As opposed to counting the pieces.
Yeah.
Higher. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they didn't have the internet and their cell phones and texting, all this, so they had a little more time. I don't know.
Okay, so this is therefore, once we're saying this, and so this is where Michael's ha'orah comes in, that if the change has to do with the midgun relationship, that's all in Chitas Reb Meir. But according to the Chachamim, that Dagon is not really defined with Midgun. Dagon refers to Chamesh HaSaminim. So if that's what it is, so then the fact that its relationship to the Midgun is affected really doesn't have anything to do with the way they translate what Dagon is. And therefore this might not apply according to the Shitas Chachamim.
Do you want to give a different Shita?
Let me just see for a second. Let's see if that according to the Chachamim. Yeah, and I'm just seeing if I could find how the halacha was brought.
Oh, that's what I was looking at also.
It's this part. You can't call it wheat anymore.
But who are you quoting from?
I'm just thinking about it. You can't call it wheat. Split into parts.
Right.
But it was wheat. So, at one time it was wheat. So, how can we say it wasn't wheat?
Now it's
wheat. Okay, but it was wheat. So, it's hard.
You're in the Chachamim Shita, or?
Well,
or,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it maybe comes back to the question that the Rav was asking all the way at the beginning of the Shir, meaning if it started out, it was called Dagon because it was Hanisha Minim, can it leave that classification?
It's different, though, because he was asking the Shir in case of a naturally occurring change. Oh. It's going to dry out.
Here
you're doing a physical change to it. You're creating a Shinoi, which is a Shinoi Guf and a Shinoi Hashem.
You think that's better? That's better to remove the Shem? Sometimes something that's going to happen automatically, naturally, you say that it's like it already happened.
Right.
You're saying the other side. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying you could argue both ways. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Here, let's see. This is the Rosh that I was referring to before. If you look in the Rosh, if you look in the Rosh over here, Tagis Tisni, the Rosh says as follows: Va'afal pisha koydim shenechleku hoya osur bechitim, ato shenechleka less nahu bechlal dogon.
Okay.
See, he seems to be bothered by the shaila that once it was Nasar, so how does it go off? So he says that loy osar atzme el b'mash nikris chita, shenikris chita. He's only asking something that
it retains the name.
Maybe calls man. I'm just wondering if that's really what he says over here.
That's how Archibald was saying. Archibald quotes that Rosh,
right?
And he says, hence they are no longer called we.
Mm-hmm.
And so the vower is permitted to eat them, for he prohibited himself only something currently called we. Then he quotes another opinion.
Right. It's brought over here. That's the next next line we get over here. So this is like this, is that if he specifically states that he's only asking something that as long as it's carrying the name Chitin or Dagon, then once the name changes, then it's no longer that thing. So there's nothing to carry the Isser. It's not that item anymore that he answered.
And Kal v'chomer Kemach? And it's, you know, Zu v'lo tzarich lomar Zu?
So this has to do with our shayla before, is that why does this not carry the Shem? Right? Is it based on Midgun, not Midgun, but...
I assumed right now they're going in the Rabbanon Shita. That's what I assumed that he was going.
He's going in the Rabbanon... No, this is on this price. That's where the Rabbanon Rosh is going on. No?
Oh, I assumed though that the way that he was explaining it, that this was L'Kulei Alma. Even the Rabbanon would be masking to this. You're saying not? You think...
Oh, no, I mean, whatever you said before, right? Is there any mashmois that he's saying? It sounds like that he's going with whoever this is. He has a question that's bothering him. That how is it that something which originally was Asur becomes Mutter? So on that he's saying that this is only if he worded the nether in such a way that it's clear that he's asking it only while it carries the Shem. That's how I'm translating this over here.
Well, why does he change the terminology from Dagon to Chita? The nether was Dagon. This is less than Bechal Dagon. V'loy asa asma el b'mash nikas Chita.
Okay, that's a dig.
And maybe because these things, they only split up Chita. They didn't do it for the other four minim. That's why. But I hear what you're saying. I hear your problem anyway.
We weren't expecting that, right? We were expecting that the word dogano. That's a little Russian, Western of the nether.
Chita's wheat,
yeah? Yeah. And he's using like an intermediate term over here. Okay. Now the Rosh continues, Inami, Hodek Omer Mutter, Shenechlu Koidem Nidroi, V'yotzu Kfar Mechlal Dogon. See, now he talks about Dogon. Right? So it's like this. So say, it sounds like it's not two opinions, right? It sounds like the opinion is the same. The question is, what's the case over here, right? It's, right? That if he doesn't specifically limit his nether to Kol Zman that it's referred to as that, then he holds that once the nether is chal, it's not going to be polka. The fact that today, or if it was in this stage originally, it would not have been Esar. Once the nether is chal, it'll remain, because he's answering something that today has this Shem. The fact that tomorrow it's not cold anymore is not going to change my intention of what I want. I want to answer that thing that today is referred to this, right? You know, it's non-dependent, unless he says that the whole Isser is dependent on carrying the Shem, then, you know, we'll always have to check, you know, is it still carrying the conditions of the nether.
Right. And so according to the Zinami, it's only coming to matter things that had been crushed up beforehand. That's a big limitation. Mm-hmm. But anything else would be still usher.
Right.
But I remember the Gemara before that has this issue. It has to do with you usher yourself on sailors. And what happens if somebody becomes a sailor later? Like, they weren't a sailor at the time that you made the neder, and then they become a sailor later. Or they were a sailor at the time you made the neder, and they retire. Are you only asking yourself on people who are sailors?
That's not the Gemara, right? That question. Your question.
We had that question. Right. Was it in the Gemara? That's why I wanted to look back.
Oh, right. Okay.
But we definitely discussed that issue back there. You don't think it was Mefurish in the Gemara?
Yeah, right. So you have to find the source. Right. Sometimes, you know, issues become so, mean so much to us that we think they become the Gemara sometimes.
Yeah, right.
Right. But what, so now we're dealing on this, and so we need the sources. we need the sources to check up over there to see what.
Maybe you can remind me what daf it was. It'll be helpful. But I know it's probably after 20 and before 45, so I don't have that many to check.
That boat went away a long time ago.
What?
That boat sailed away a long
time ago. Yeah, that's a long time ago, yeah. Although I was looking for a Gemara recently, and I thought it was in a certain place, and then Rabbi Davis said, that's Dav Zion. It's like, I wasn't even going to, definitely wasn't going to look there.
You could use this Concordatio,
you know? I could.
Tells you the word,
yeah.
Where to find
it. I don't own one, but yeah, I could.
Okay. I just want to discuss one last thing over here. I want to jump a little bit because I'm not going to get there if I go straight.
Okay.
I want to talk about this, and maybe also that the if someone could help me with the Are you ready? I don't know. Okay. So let's see the word. Moses says, "Hanoid min peris ha'oritz," right? Hanoid min peris ha'oritz. The term that he uses is peris ha'oritz. Also, b'chol peris ha'oritz mutar b'kumen patrius. Okay, we know that one of these things is mushrooms. Do we have what's the translation of the other use? They were
truffles.
Okay, that doesn't help us so much, right?
Truffle is a mushroom, but it grows underground. Maybe that's the difference, as opposed to other mushrooms. Maybe grow above the ground. The way they use pregnant pigs, and they really like truffles, so they can smell them underneath the ground, and they guide them around, and then the pig digs.
That's why the pichazer is a grafshavu'i, because it uses its nose, its snout, to dig in the dirt.
But that's how these truffles are. They grow underground.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe that's the difference. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Is that word that they use by you?
They use truffle. I don't know what that is. Right. Until now, I didn't know.
Right. Okay.
Last week, I learned dog on this week. Truffles.
Okay. So let's see. So Zok the Mishnah. Zok the Brayza. Someone asks Peris Ha'aretz. Peris Ha'aretz does not include kimon and patches. Now, just want to raise the point is that what do we know about these things at this point to understand this halacha, right? They seem to be different, right? So we seem to understand, right? We have no difficulty understanding this in itself. So there is an understanding that, of the metzius of these things, which they're not included in Peris Ha'aretz. V'mama b'lei karka olai osa dekulon. Okay, so this is understanding, right? Without the Raminhi, right? And this is a point that we always try to stress, that whenever the Mora asks the contradiction, means that each thing by itself is understood. The question is, how do these two things, work together, right? But if you have a question on something, I don't need a side source to ask. It just doesn't make sense, right? So if we're asking Ramin, it means that we understand the Brayis itself, right? So that original Brayis, so we understand that there's a certain property of Kohen Patrius, which does not include them in Peris Ha'aretz, but they are Bechlal Gedulei Karka. But the term gidule apparently is more inclusive. Gidule karka, peris would refer to something more specific that kmon patrius, like we're saying, even at this point of the Gemara, we know doesn't have. Now the Gemara asked the kasha of Ramini, al dov sheng gidule min oritz, oimisha hakol niya bidvoroi. Something which is not a gidule min oritz. So more is relating that to the gidule, right? Gidule karka that we said before. So we said before that kohen patrius are not gidule. Excuse me. They are gidule, right? That's what we said before. That they are gidule karka. This Mishnah of Hilchos Brachos over here tells us that something which is not gidule ha'oretz, you make a shahakal, right, as opposed to as a pri ha'adama. Right, so we're directed from this other braisa that kmon and patrius are included in this group, which are not gidule min ha'aretz. So that's the Mora's contradiction over here. The theory is that are kmon and patrius included in gidule, are they referred to as gedulei karka or not? The in nidorim, right? We say gedulei karka. They are included. Hilchos brachos, they're not. That's the Gemara's question. So again, that should mean that we have an understanding, I think, right, of Kumam Patrius. Have an understanding of what they are. And the question is that, does that affect them from being Gidulei Karka? I guess the Shaila is the Mashmois of Gidulei Karka. Right, that would be the easy way to understand what the contradiction is, the point of the contradiction. Now, the Gemara says like this, Omrabaya Mibarov Miara Menik Meavira Yanki Vle Miara. Now, the Gemara seems to be answering the question by telling us the nature of Kumar and Patrius, which doesn't really help us, right?
Answer the question, right?
Right.
Maybe he's just making a statement.
Yeah, so maybe the Gemara asks that, right? V'ha'katani adava she'en gidul min ha'oretz, tini adava she'en yoynik min ha'oretz. Right, so let's see over here. How do you learn the Gemara? So we could learn the Gemara that this was really all the intention of Abaye to change the girsa in the Mishnah. Now, if and therefore, what the Mishnah is saying there, as far as Hilchos Brachos is concerned, that it's not enough gidulei karka, I need yanki mina karka, right? Now, but he is telling us the mitzias that it's not yanki mina karka. So it sounds like that we didn't know that before either. I'm not sure really why we thought we didn't know that. The Iker Stira is not answered until you change the girsa in the mission, right? So Rava is like Abaye is telling us the mitzis that wasn't the issue. And what makes us think that was the issue? Like I'm telling you before, that we understood before that it's different, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have understood why it's not Bechlal Peris Haoretz.
Maybe he's just trying to say that in order to have Bray Prioritz, you need Yom Kimin Aretz. That's what he's adding. Which wasn't 100% clear.
So let's start from over there. See, if we didn't know this Matisse, and maybe we could just see tackle what this Matisse is. Let's just stop for a minute right now and just see what is this idea, right? That it's mir berabu me'ara, but it's minki yanki. It's not minki yanki.
It's
right?
Like this to Ran Mefarish.
Okay.
I mean, it could be you can reconcile that. The Ran says ikka unikasam. That's what it means. Right, and the Mefarish is focused on the fact that it doesn't have shurasha.
So let's see again in the Ram. You had, what do you see in the Ram? What it means?
Yeah, miuver mar lefichach ki amad derekakalei also the commandments miu ikka unikasa merviu yanki. Mushum hakim rosh hakos. He says he's getting something from the ground.
So the mir berabu refers. It also refers to a unika
of nutrition. I looked it up from ChatGPT. I asked ChatGPT if mushrooms could grow on a branch that's sitting here on the table, detached from the ground, right?
I think that we see that. No, don't grow on houses and things like that.
Right, it depends. A totally dead branch with no moisture will not grow mushrooms. If there's still moisture in the branch, that's what will feed the mushrooms.
Uh-huh. So now, but that moisture is really avira?
And think so.
I think that the lotion of where did I see that? Shem says that menik yake meavira. Yeah, the Tosfos says aval hayinik shelhen eina elo me'aver karka. It sounds like you hear that, right? like it sounds like it's not just from the ear. It's
air from above ground.
You see that in the faces.
From above ground.
Above ground?
Hold on.
Yeah, the air is above ground.
Why is it saying
karka
then?
This is just air. I'm going to... Hold on. I
want to... What does that mean? I mean, avir karka. It sounds like the karka is playing a role. I mean, maybe it's like, you know, it's feeding something into the, you know, the moisture into the ear from as a result of the karka.
I want to say that the Mefarsh and the Ma'an are not arguing.
Yeah.
The fact that it doesn't have Shirosh and Muslim Mefarsh is focused on tells us that the Ikki Unika is left. It does need something from the ground. But it's not the Ikki Unika. The Ikki Unika is, if I want to reconcile it with current scientific knowledge, right, is that the Ikki source of nutrients for the mushrooms is moisture, as opposed to other things which need root to draw forth other nutrients from soil.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It still needs the moisture which is coming from the ground.
The avir itself doesn't have the moisture.
I think humidity also helps it, so it could get that from. I don't know the materials.
Some mushrooms grow on rocks.
Right. And
generally speaking, this is why I googled
rocks
this.
Rocks don't have moisture. Internally,
that I don't think there's moisture coming out of the rock.
Right.
Let's hit it.
What?
Let's hit it.
We're sitting to
right.
So it'd be getting the moisture from the air.
So how does that work with
this? So this is what I was really looking up, because I think that my mother goes mushroom hunting. So I think there's a claw that you really shouldn't eat mushrooms growing on trees. They tend to be mostly poisonous. I googled whether you can eat them, and it says some you can eat, but most are poisonous.
So what does that depend on? Whether they're poisonous or not?
Meaning we're talking about making a bracha. You're not eating poisonous mushrooms.
Right, right.
So if the mushrooms that grow on trees,
okay,
and on branches and the ground, I mean not rocks, are poisonous, then we're not talking about making a bracha on that. If you're the only mushrooms you eat are mushrooms growing on stone, right, on rocks, then those are the ones you're making a bracha on, and those are not yankim mina aretz because they don't have anything to be yoni from because they're growing on a stone. There's no moisture in the stone.
That's what you said, most, not all. And secondly, you'll never see mushrooms growing on metal or plastic, right?
That is
rocks, true. Yeah. So there's something still. It needs some natural source of nutrients.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay.
So another point is another thing that in water there is a part of it is oxygen.
Right.
In water the part of it is oxygen. So that could be the part that H2O. Right. H2O. Hydrogen.
And someone was telling me that's what Mibra of Aram means the components that are in the In the ear,
Well, plants grow from two.
Light.
Meaning, plants take light and water,
right?
And carbon dioxide. Most plants. Forget about mushrooms. Second, plants take carbon dioxide from the air and water generally from the ground.
Right.
Okay, and they produce from that oxygen. And plant material.
Right.
So they make the plant material and then they release oxygen. So they take in carbon dioxide and water.
Right.
The carbon from the carbon dioxide becomes a plant material along with the hydrogen from the water. And then they release the extra oxygen that they don't need. Okay. Now the carbon dioxide is coming from the air, all plants. They don't get carbon dioxide from the ground, they get it from the air. And then the water comes from the ground. So by a mushroom, it's still also going to get the carbon dioxide. If it's growing with carbon dioxide and water, so it's also getting carbon dioxide from the air. The question is, where's the water coming from? Is the water coming from the air? Because maybe it just doesn't need as much as regular plants, and whatever is the moisture in the air is enough.
There is moisture in the air, really? Okay.
That's why the focus is on ichiunicosam. In other words, that both plants and mushrooms are getting from both the air and from the ground. But what's the primary?
Right, maybe. Yeah.
And the parish is claiming the proof is the fact that it's not roots.
That it has no roots. So therefore it's not getting from the ground.
Right.
It needs to connect somehow to the ground, so we're not going to see it growing on
plastic. Right, like you're saying, metal. You don't see it on plastic, right? Yeah. That's an interesting thing. I'm going to Google to see if you put spores on plastic. you know, will they grow mushrooms? I'm going to Google that.
Well, according to our...
Okay. Thank you for making yourself like a midbar.